On March 4th, we'll be dedicating our new children's building, the Edgar M. Arendall New Children's Education Building, and it's going to be an exciting day. But it's going to be doubly exciting because on that same day, we're going to be dedicating our new children's ministry to the community, Kids Connection. Kids Connection is one of the most exciting ministries that our church has ever started and one of our most important mission projects, and it's going to be to the children of our area. We do all of this because you as a church family several years ago voted in a business meeting, but more than voted in a business meeting, you've done it through your lives to make children a priority for the Dawson family of faith. But to make children a priority, it is more than just new buildings and new ministries. It also involves teaching parents and grandparents. And next week, our church will host a very special event for parents and grandparents. It's going to be a marvelous teaching seminar. We were able to get with the people who are going to be leading it, and so that you may be able to put some faces in your mind, and as you pray for them, watch the video again, watch this video, and it will help you know how to pray for the events that are coming up this coming week. Chapter 3, and also we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 28 and one verse from Romans. If you do not have your Bible, take the pew Bible directly in front of you. Turn and open to the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 3 says, with verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Then a very familiar passage from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. You may be seated. Today we're continuing the series of sermons, What Does It Mean? Last week we looked at what does it mean to be saved. This where we're looking at what it means to be baptized. During this series, we're looking at words, phrases, and concepts that we frequently use in religious or church settings, and sometimes we use them without knowing what they mean. But the purpose of examining these is not just to help us to know mentally what they mean. It's just not to be well informed. It is as the book of James chapter 1 verse 22 tells us, that hearing the word can be deceptive. If you hear the word only, you are deceived. But James tells us, says you are to hear the word and then you're to do it. And that's what it means, what it lives to live out the Christian faith. So we're not just looking at knowing, but hoping that these words, knowing them, will help us to know what to do and how to live. of all of the religious symbols and symbolic actions that we use, probably baptism is the best known. Almost everyone has seen or heard or has some idea of what it means to be baptized, but we don't understand what the full meaning of it is, because of, even though it's the best known, it is frequently the least understood. You've all, if you've been around church any length of time at all, you've heard baptism stories that are humorous and funny, and sometimes where unusual things happen. Allow me to share an unusual baptism with you. I was not there and did not participate, but I know the church that it happened in, and I know the setting, so you can understand how it happened. It's from a church in southern Oklahoma that had a very small baptistry. It had been added onto this congregation at a later time. It had only one exit and one entrance to the baptistry. Rather than being on the side, the stairs came from the back. It was very narrow in width. It was very short in length. So when you baptized, you needed to make sure you had the person exactly in the center, because if you didn't, there could be a collision with the walls. The church called a new pastor. One of the first people that he led to the Lord was a gentleman in the church that people had been praying for years. He was one of those quiet men who was a good man but didn't know Christ. He had a life-changing experience with God. He came and presented himself for baptism in the church. It was the pastor's first baptism in that church. He was excited. He was enthused. He was talking fast and acting fast. The curtains opened. He shared a little about the gentleman. And getting carried away with the emotion, he raised his hand and he says, "And I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," and just quickly put him under the water. But he hadn't made sure he was in the center. He was too far to the right. And as he quickly put him in the water, there was a thud. The man's head hit the wall. And when the man's head hit the wall, which was, it was at the level which it was just simply a sheet board there, and he hit the wall and there was that thud, and the man goes, "Oh!" Well, now the congregation couldn't see the man hitting the head. It just sounded like a clap of thunder. And they heard a voice. And when the man pulled up, this normally quiet, shy man stands and goes, "Wow!" Well, the congregation, they thought revival had broken out. This quiet man, they had heard a sound. They had seen, you know, something unusual. The pastor who tells the story said, people said it was one of the most memorable baptisms they had ever seen. But he says they didn't have a clue what really happened. It's possible that when we see baptism, we're impressed. For it is an impressive event. When you have come into a church and have seen the act of baptism, that's really sacred and that's holy, and there's something that about baptism that makes us all feel good. But it's possible we do not understand what it means and how we apply it to our life. Looking at the New Testament helps us in describe baptism in a variety of ways. First, the Bible teaches us, it describes rather, people who have been baptized. The Bible describes Jesus being baptized. We have a passage of Scripture where Jesus instructs the disciples to baptize. And then we have a passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of baptism as an explanation, as an illustration, to teach us something about what's happened. Now, we want to look at those this morning and see what it means. Let's begin first with the baptism of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell the story of the baptism of Jesus. As we have said on several occasions, the Bible uses repetition as a means of emphasis. The fact that this story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells us that it must be something very important. When you put the three stories together, here's what we learn. Jesus was living up in Nazareth. he comes down to John and asks John to baptize him. Now, John, it's John the Baptist, who is a relative of Jesus. And as a relative of Jesus, he has already developed a reputation as a fantastic and intriguing and eccentric prophet. When we say fantastic, we mean that he drew a tremendous amount of following. He was a prophet in the sense that he declared judgment. He says, God's judgment is coming, and his message was, you need to repent, and you need to be baptized. That shows, that gives evidence that you have repented. And then he preached that the Messiah was coming. When he is preaching, he is a controversial figure. Jesus comes down from Nazareth. It's a 70-mile trip. And he comes to John and he says, John, I want you to baptize me. Now, John doesn't want to baptize him. Because when John baptized people, he baptized people who were sinners, who were confessing their sin, and baptism was a symbol that they had confessed. And he knows that Jesus has not sinned. He cannot see any flaw in his life. And he says to Jesus, I can't baptize you. In other words, you don't fit the reason I'm baptizing. And Jesus says to him, John, you will baptize me because it fulfills all righteousness. Well, that phrase doesn't mean much to us. We can paraphrase it to mean because this is God's will. For righteousness was associated with who God was and what God wanted to be. And John knew that this Jesus, John the Baptist knew that Jesus was apparently, in his mind, apparently the Messiah. And as he was the Messiah, he probably ought to obey him. So John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And when he does, he places him under the water. And at that time, there is a dove, something that's in the appearance of a dove, the Holy Spirit, by having the appearance of a dove, it doesn't mean that it looked like a dove. It meant it swooped like a dove. We don't know exactly what he saw, but the Spirit of God came down like a dove comes down. And then there was a voice from the heavens saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And you can imagine that had to be a dramatic moment. But it wasn't a misunderstood moment, because here was the voice of God saying, this is my Son. It wasn't one of those unusual events in the sense people walked away saying, I wonder what that was all about. They knew that somehow this person being baptized was unique, because that didn't happen when other people were baptized. It is the Gospel of John that goes ahead and tells us, he doesn't tell about the baptism of Jesus, but the Gospel of John tells us in chapter 3 that Jesus and his disciples went about baptizing. But in chapter 4, John clarifies it. It was Jesus with the disciples, but Jesus did not do any baptizing. All the disciples did all of the baptism. John chapter 4, verse 2. Now, leave that event with me, okay? Let's jump ahead 3 years. Jesus is completing his ministry. That was at the beginning of his ministry. Now, Jesus is completing his ministry. It is after the death and resurrection. It is just before the ascension. Jesus now tells the disciples, you go up to Galilee. And Jesus meets them in Galilee, and they worship. There's a time of teaching. But just before it ends, Jesus gives them a call to service. He tells them, he says, now, I want you to go into the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things I have commanded you. He gives them several assignments. First, they're to go into the world, or as they go into the world, they're to make disciples. They're to baptize them, and then they're to teach them all that they have been taught. Let's stop there for just a moment. Now go ahead with me 25 more years. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He is to a congregation of believers, and he gives them the most systematic approach that we have in the Bible to understanding the Christian faith. He writes what it means to be separated from God. He makes it very clear the way we are reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, he is seeking to begin the explanation of what it means to live out this Christian life. And he uses an analogy, an illustration. He says, and remember, he's writing to people who have been baptized. They have seen baptism. They know the language. He says, and we have been, through baptism, we have been buried with him that we might be resurrected to a new way of life. Now, when you look at this, he's saying it is through Christ we have died and we're resurrected to a new way of living. When you look at these entire passages, we want to look at the basic truths about baptism. We're not going to be able to answer every question or look in every detail. But first, remember that baptism is about Jesus. It is a way to tell the Jesus story. When you read about Jesus being baptized, occasionally you can think, why was Jesus baptized? Because baptism, as John was presenting it, was something you did after you had confessed your sin. Jesus never sinned. Why was he baptized? Jesus was baptized to show the essence of his life. He was placed under the water. He was picked up the water. What is the essential part of the life of Jesus? Jesus performed many miracles. Jesus provided many teachings. But the essence of the life of Jesus is his death and resurrection. It is, as the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 3 tells us, that he did what the law couldn't do. It's just what behavior couldn't change. Our relationship changed with God because Jesus died and rose again. One of the greatest heresies, in fact, it may be the most common of all heresies, is that Jesus came to set for us an example. Now, he is an example, but when I say it's a false teaching, there are people who would say that's the only reason Jesus came to earth. It is so that we would know then how to live, and you and I are to look at what he said and what he did, and therefore we're to do that. Now, we are to follow his instructions. We're to follow his example. But it is absolutely impossible without Jesus and dying and being resurrected for us, because we are not empowered. The law was good instruction. It had excellent teaching. But we didn't have the power. You and I, when Jesus died and rose again, our sins are forgiven. We have our slate wiped clean. We're pure in the eyes of God. We're resurrected to a new way of life. Christ comes and dwells in us. Baptism is the story of Jesus. It is a way that you and I not only can remember, but we can retell it. It's a means of witness, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But second, the baptism also symbolizes or shows the essence or the meaning of Christian living. When you and I become a Christian, we die to an old way of life. We're resurrected to a new way of living. In other words, there are some things that need to be pushed out of our lives, and there are some things that we need to place within our life. It is, as we spoke 2 or 3 weeks ago on the subject of being born again from John chapter 3, you and I have a new beginning. It's not just about trying harder. It is absolutely a new way of life. Now, that deals with the second heresy. First is Jesus was only example. And the second heresy is you and I, we're just, when we become Christians, the only difference is we're just forgiven and there's no change in our life, that Jesus died for our sins so that we can go to heaven. Jesus did die for our sins. But you do realize that when we become a Christian, we are no longer only under the power of sin. The power of the Holy Spirit is in our life. You and I cannot look at our lives and say, we have habits, we have wrong attitudes in our life, and we can't help it. We're just human. We can help it. Now, you and I don't do it perfectly, but the power and presence of God dwells within us so that we are not powerless in the world. We're not left to just basically human nature. We have a brand new life. And what does baptism show? It shows a death, but then it shows coming forth to life the way Jesus did. We have a new life in Christ. There's a third truth in this. Not only do we have, not only is it symbolizing the Christian life and the Christian faith, but baptism is a means or a way of witness to others and to us. Now, we understand the others. Because when we're baptized, when we open the stained glass windows behind, and we usually in some way tell the story that it is Jesus dying and resurrecting. Now, in the early church, they baptized outside. They would frequently, and some of you can remember in your life of attending outdoor baptisms. And in rural areas, when they were baptized in a creek or a river, the preacher would usually speak with a very loud voice, and baptisms lasted much longer than we do now because there was a brief sermon that went with it. The person who was being baptized stood in the water. They were often asked to confess their faith, and then the one doing the baptizing would tell the story of the faith. He would tell the story of God sending His Son to die on a cross in order that our sins might be forgiven. He would tell about how Jesus was in the grave 3 days and that He was then resurrected that we might have new life. And He would then baptize the person saying, just as Jesus died, this person is showing that Jesus died for them and rose again, and they would pick them up. And then He would frequently give an invitation and have people where they could come to know Christ. It is a witness. That's why when we have baptism at our church, we do occasionally on Sunday morning, we do more on Sunday nights where we can give it a little more time. I hope any time that you see that we have baptism, you invite some non-Christian friends. Because we can learn by the eye as well as the ear. There's somehow you just catch it by seeing it. No, you don't catch it automatically. But there are things that this idea of death and resurrection, they can make sense when you're seeing a baptism. But there's a second dimension. Baptism is also a witness to ourselves. It is a way of reminding us what's happened in our life. And when you and I act out things, we remember them better. Several years ago, and this is a story I have permission to tell if I don't mention the names. Several years ago, there was a young couple in our church, and they had joined the church right after they were married. She had come to know Christ as a teenager at a youth camp, and I think he had in vacation Bible school, and he had been baptized, but she never had. She was at a youth camp. Her parents didn't go to church very often. In college, they did as many people do. They sort of got away from the Lord. But then they got married and decided they wanted to have a Christian home. They joined our church. She was baptized in this congregation. And approximately 10 years later, their 8-year-old son was being baptized here. And I met with them in their home to explain with them the meaning of baptism. And I had, the little boy was question was, when do I get baptized? You know, is it going to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, next week, or could we do it right now? You know, normal, excited. And what I was intending to say, but apparently did not say it well, I was intending to say, well, when your baptism is not important as compared to why, all apparently I said was, baptism is not important. That's how I understood it. And this mother quickly interrupted me, and she says, may not be important to you, but it's important to me. And I'm trying to figure out where this conversation is going, and then I later figure out. But she turned to her son, and she did a great job of explaining baptism to him. And she said, Son, when I was baptized, it did not make me a Christian. I knew that I had trusted Christ. But there was something about being placed under the water and being picked up in the water that made me aware of really what God had done. By participating in it, it was a reminder that in Christ, I really died. And when I was picked up from the water, says, it really reminded me that it was a new birth. Said it was one of those, I knew it, but it was a beautiful moment in my own life. It was a reminder. She turned to the boy and she said, sort of like when we dedicated you. She says, we dedicated you long before you were born. We prayed for you on the day of your birth. But she says, when the pastor held you up in front of the church and held you up, says that was the moment we realized this child is literally given to God. And says, baptism is a wonderful way of teaching you what God has done. I didn't have anything else to say. She had said it so well. That's why baptism is not just a hoop you go through to join the church. It's not just something you do. That's why it's commanded. Because we learn visually, but we learn best by doing. Baptism does not make you a Christian. But it is a wonderful way of reminding you what God has done in your life. I would imagine most people in this congregation have been baptized. But sometimes those baptismal acts occurred when we were children. And maybe someone didn't explain it very well to us. There may be some who would like to experience baptism again. No, it's not making a mockery of your first baptism. But you just would like to have that reminder that it's death and resurrection. This morning, you have registration cards together. If you would like to talk to someone about being baptized, if you'll just check X on that and place it in the offering plate, we'll be calling you. Now, here's what we're going to call you. We're going to ask you, are you a Christian? Have you accepted Christ? And we're going to ask you, why would you like to be baptized again if it's a second time? It's not the kind, why do you want to be baptized again? But it is, why? So you can say, because I want to know what it means. Now, that's what baptism means. But now let's move to what does it mean to us today. You've been baptized. You know what it means. How does it impact your life? Is it just about those who are being baptized in Jesus? No. Remember, every time you see a baptism, whether it's related, the person's being baptized, or they're related to you in any way, it should remind you of three things. It should remind you that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central thing in your life. Second, it should remind you that the way you live in your life, it is about death and resurrection. You've died to an old way of living. It reminds you that in Christ you are a new person. Third, it reminds you that in everything you do, you are to be a witness to what Christ has done. So when you see or observe a baptism, it's not just to sit there and think, that's nice. Baptism is a sermon that we need to see. And as a church family, when we have baptism, when you see that we have it on Sunday nights, I hope that you'll make every effort to be here that Sunday night. Not just to give support to those who are baptized, but it's a reminder to all of us that the sermon we see that night is reminding us that it's what Jesus did. His death and resurrection are central. That we have been called to put away the old way of life and take on the new. And that everything in our life is to be used as a witness for Him. This morning, as we come to the point of invitation, we invite you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If you've never experienced what it means to be a believer and a follower of Jesus, we invite you to. You do that by confessing your sins acknowledging that He is your Savior, trusting Him. If you've never done that, we invite you. There may be others here in your life. You know you'd like to unite with the church or you'd like to recommit your faith. We invite you to whatever God is leading you to do. Would you stand, please?